Again, it's a joy to open the Word of God. I don't know if it's funny or not funny, but whether I'm here or whether I'm in Israel, I would have been exactly in the same position. The church right now meets exactly in this very second, not just day. We meet on Friday because we were kicked out from the former place because of pressure of anti-missionary activities. I mean, religious people boycotted the hotel, so we were out. So we moved to another place downtown, and the only available opening in this place was Friday evening. So exactly in this second, if I'll be in Israel, I'll teach. So it's so good to be here. I just feel at home anyway. So it asked me, so what is your vacation? Or, how many times did you teach? Wow, so much work. I'll be very honest with you. To teach is not work. I'll be very, very honest with you. To prepare the message is sweating. It's enjoying. God works. God speaks to you through the word. You cannot imagine. You prepare a message, and I'm always only 1 week ahead of the church. I don't have a day off. I never had a day off. So it's basically, all the week is just to prepare for the next written lesson. The other weeks are something you know by heart, so you don't have to write them. But Friday afternoon or evening, wow, it's the lesson. So you're always only 1 week ahead of the church, no more. And if something happened during the week, event or whatsoever, I'm shaken. God, if I had 3 days to prepare it, by the way, to make a bad lesson, you need 5 minutes. To make a medium lesson, you need a day and a half, something like this. To make a very simple lesson, you need at least 3 days. And that's even kind of emergency pregnancy. Because you really don't have more time. On the weekend, you have to preach. There is a deadline and you cannot move it. So, just to let you know that even if I'll be in Israel, I'll teach similar things. We're right now going through James. And the crowns of life was taken from James. So it's really amazing. Whether an ocean away or not, business is as usual. So, I said in a good sense, God, thank you. That's by the way you put me, it's the same thing. So, the only thing different between them and here, it's the tie that strengthened my neck. I don't know what to do with it. But one day, maybe in heaven, I'll get used to it. But until then. That will be the only thing the Gentiles will bring into heaven. No, that's not. Now go back. We are studying the crowns. We are studying the crowns. Now, God willing, we'll be able to finish the crowns in this lesson. Because today in the evening, I want to speak about John chapter 3. Jesus and Nicodemus. And now some of you are saying, what? We know it by heart. That's the first lesson in Sunday school. Okay, you're going to see the first lesson that was not taught correctly. Okay, the gospel is the same. But there will be a lesson where Nicodemus is not going to be a mockery, but a genuine person that can be each one of us. Instead of looking at Nicodemus to say, he really thought he's going back to his mother's womb, we are going to see another person. Someone that, wow, we have so much to learn from. His beginning was X, his ending was Y, and very unique. Very unique. But this is in the evening. Now, we are continuing with the crowns. We still have to do the crowns of glory from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. But some of you maybe were not here. I'll just do flying over the material kind of introduction. You know, in Israel, when I said the word introduction, my wife and kids who sit in the front sometimes will say, oh, that means there is no new lesson. Okay. Really, that's what happened. You finish the introduction, we need to finish. And then the other people realize, forget about dinner, forget about this, because for men, the watch really means nothing. It's only a recommendation. But today, time is time. Anyway, so the names of the crowns that we are talking about, the Bible mentions five that I know of. It's crown of life. which is mentioned in James chapter 1 verse 12 and Revelation 2:10, and it's for those who maintain living pure life although going through the test of life even unto death. So James is talking in chapter 1, you know, trials may come to our life. And a trial, even unto death, it's not necessarily because we have been criminals or something. Trials, although hard, can do good into our life. Check our faith. Allow us to experience God in things we never did before. Filtering out those who have never been saved, and most likely could be, never will be, out of the church, to keep the body of Christ clean. Cause us to repent, to go through our life, to check if there is something wrong. Confess it before the Lord. Stay pure before Him. Because when you are walking with the Lord purely, you are going to see the mighty hand of God in a mighty way. God and holiness go together, by the way. And here, it could be that there is something in our life that is not important. How many of us have hobbies? Many. And be very honest. I've seen also pastors who have hobbies. And their hobbies are more flourishing than the church. And you wonder, where is the heart? You want to have a hobby? It's between you and the Lord. But make sure that it is hobby and not main profession. Or let's show you the church. Here is the church, here is the people. Oh, they caused me a headache. But come, show you my boat. When we go to fish, when we do... You see the joy when people explain things. And you wonder where your heart is. So those who continue with the Lord, even unto death, because the life in God's presence, it's more realistic and attractive than the life here. Crown of life. Second one, the incorruptible crown. Paul is saying, in the context of what we just said as a verse by heart, I'm free. I'm saved. I'm free. I'm God's child. No one can take my name from my father's identity card. In Israel, you have identity card, and if you are married and you have kids, the list of the kids are there. As long they're under 18, they are on your identity card. So it's an expression that no one can take my name from my father's ID. No one, whether I'm good boy or bad boy, no one can take it. Of course, Father wants me to be good. I'm free. God saved me. No one can take this salvation away. Is that, okay, what do I do with this freedom? Shoot around? Do whatever I like? An elephant in a ceramic shop? Unsensitive to other people's need? Just do what I want? God forbid. For the Jew, I'll be like a Jew. For him, I'll be like him. Does that mean that if he's worshiping Buddha, I'll go to worship Buddha with him? No way. He didn't say that he's compromising his faith. That's not what he said. If in order to be with you, I'll dress like you, I'll need to go to this place and this place with you, I may lose this time with others to be with you, that's okay. I will not eat this or not eat that. Okay. What is it? It's nothing compared to reaching your soul. And then I said, there are too many missionaries who go to other countries and bring all America with them. No. You go to serve others, you need to adopt them. So you have freedom, but make sure that this freedom doesn't kill others. So, incorruptible crown. And many of us, including me, we prefer to do projects which are with a timetable, 3 months. So if the project is hard, you swallow the frog, as we say in Hebrew. It's hard, ugly, but never mind, only 3 months. I wouldn't say it in France. That means, never mind. To suffer a little bit. No one, no worry. But the race he's talking about is until you see the face of the Lord. You know what it means? My life is not mine. God, it's yours. And if I suffer, I suffer. Use it for you. Let people see more of you than me. I die for myself, alive to you. Galatians 2:20. The incorruptible crown. The crown of righteousness. Those who believe, that's from 2 Timothy 4:6 to 8. Live as if the Lord will show his face to you, will take you right now. And if you know it's going to be right now, it controls your thinking, the way you behave, the way you do, what you buy, what you sell, how you do that, how you speak with people, what you speak to them. Nonsense first or most important first? Hobby first or heavenly issues first? Because if the Lord will come after 5 minutes and you just show them the boat, you didn't have an opportunity to show the gospel. And people are saved by hearing the word of God. No, you are not going to send anyone to hell. Don't worry. God chooses his people. But if you have been a stumbling block, pew, woe to you. Crown of joy. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. You are the joy. Our children are our joy. You are the joy of the school. Of course, we're all joy of God in that sense. But as we lead people to know the Lord, mature them in the Lord, use our time to bring the gospel. Because of our testimony, people have heard the gospel and it was a tool for them to be saved. We are going to meet them in heaven. Here are the fruits, results. Crown of joy. They bring joy to heaven. It's a crown of joy. The last one is the crown of glory. And that's sum up. I know that we didn't speak enough about none of them, but at least to give kind of an appetite to study it. Crown of glory, that's 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 to 4. Please watch your Bible because I read it from Hebrew and then translate it into English. So it was Greek, now it's Hebrew, now it's English. I'm afraid that until it will come to you, it will be something else. So make sure you go back, you cut all the translation and you see it with your own eyes. And who writes it? Peter. Remember, Peter, the one who denied Christ, the one who fell, the one who was happy to erase some verses from the New Testament. But he is the one who's writing that. Shepherd the flock of God who is with you and take care of him, not because of it's like a burden, as if you have to, but willingly, as it is right before the Lord. Not as if you want something to gain from it, but with a willing heart, delightful heart, soul. Not as masters, as dictators, on something that was deposited in your hand, but by being an example, perfect example to the flock. And in the appearance of the prince of the shepherds, you will receive this glory, this crown of glory that will not fall, or they will not, how you call it in English? Faith, exactly. Thank you so much. Wow, he's the one who is writing that. The fifth one is the crown of glory, given to shepherds, given to those who are shepherding the flock of God. Taking care of them, not as a burden. Wish this guy comes again, this couple. It's enough. Every day you quarrel. Leave me alone. Don't call me at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm not saying that I'm happy to receive a phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning. Usually no one does. But at least when it happens, it's an opportunity to help. Many of us have good marriage life. Many of us in the Christian world marry more than 20 years and still marry, you know? You go to the secular world and tell them, I'm married 24 years. To the same one? What do you think, to five? Accumulative? Of course to the same one. It looks like that those who are married more than 20 years are living miracles. It's sad. It's so sad. You sit in a class. I remember when I was in the army, I started my military service when I was 20. One of the girls in our laboratory spoke. We drove together to take something, and she said, "Well, the wife of my father, she says this sentence, and then expressed what the wife of her father said. I'll be very honest. Maybe you think that I'm very weak in my brain, but it took me about 2 minutes to understand what is the wife of my father. I was not used to vocabulary of divorced kids. I'm honestly saying so. The first drunk person I saw ever in my life was when I was 26, driving in New Jersey and almost driving over him because he ran into the road. I never saw a drunk person until I was 26. Some of you may say, "Where did you live?" In the woods. No, in Jerusalem. Really, but God kept me kind of in a greenhouse, as we call it. So here, other people will call, they have disasters in their home. How do you consider it? A nuisance? A headache? Or, "God, I will be so happy to be with my kids and my family, but if you open a door of service, thank God." We tell God, "Here am I!" But be careful not to come and tell him between 2 to 4, don't call. Because usually you're going to be tested in the moments that you do something fun that you really like. And then God wants you to do something fun that he likes. And then there will be always the arm wrestling. Whose likes are better? I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I'm not saying that every time I receive a phone call in weird times, I was happy. And God, please forgive me. But that's what God expects. That you will have a desire to do marriage counseling with a problematic couple in the same way you have a desire to be with your family and children. Because those are the children of God in both houses. So he said to the pastors, to the shepherds, who are being an example to the flock, those who lead the children of God. You know, it was so correct for Peter to say these words. He was the one who, as we said before, we mentioned a few times, sometimes his mouth was faster than his brains. He did things that we laugh at. But God knew why he gave it to Peter. Peter most likely was the one that God knew that if he will not fail, he will consider anyone who fails to be a failure. So God needed to allow him to taste the ground, the taste of the ground, so he may know that if it happens to him, it can happen to others. And when it happens to others, God still loves them. God still works with them. He didn't put a big X over their head. God taught him that he needs him not with his own muscles, but he needs him on his knees, a subject and a tool to walk through the Holy Spirit. So all his failures taught him how to be prepared to help others. And sometimes the tests in our life cause do the same. So I may be prepared to help others in this situation. So after Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared in Tiberia area, also in Tiberia to the disciples in John 21. And after fed the disciples, he told Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" No, the word love is so cheap today. So when we hear the word love, we immediately think about one portion of that, which is usually not the necessary one that God is talking about. "Peter, do you love me?" "Of course I love you." "Do you love me?" "You know I love you." "Do you love me?" Now, if your wife asks you, "Meno, do you love me?" I mean, she does ask it much. Why? Because I drill her brains every day. "I love you." And sometimes when you say too much, people don't take it seriously. So I tell her a lot, "I love you." And guess what? I'm in love with her. Can you imagine? I still see my wife, and I think about the same thing when I saw her when she was 18. I really, really love her. So the idea is, do you love me? So the test of love is, shepherd my flock. And if he didn't understand enough Hebrew, if it was Hebrew, he told him three ways. Shepherd my flock. Shepherd my flock. So what is the real test of love? Take care of my children. One day you will go with your wife somewhere and you'll bring a babysitter home. What are the basic things you need from a babysitter? One, that she'll be older, or he will be older than your kids. Otherwise, there'll be a party at home. That you know the person, and there are some basic things, you know, that when you'll come back, the kids are still there, alive. Call you daddy, mommy, and don't say, who are you? You see, we laugh because we know it's true. And when someone asks three times, do you love me? It means, don't take it easy. This is most important. Do you love me? Take care of my flock. Look around you. I mean, look around. Sometimes you see someone that you may say, I'm not going to marry this guy. No, in a million years. But God says, that's my child. Do you love me? Take care of him. And you don't need to be a pastor to take care of someone who is also a believer in Christ. Don't come and say, but I'm a woman. In my Bible, women are not pastors. You raise it. I mean, it's still like that in the Bible. But take care of God's children. You do not need to be a pastor as a title to love and take care of God's children. That's his flock. To love? What example of love? Like Christ. In the process, you may lose yours. We are not running into the fire if we are choose not to, yes. But it could happen that in an attempt to take care of God's children, you may lose yours. Are we ready to? Should it happen, may God give us the power not just to speak but also to do. I suppose we will shake, we'll think, we'll stop a little bit, we'll not continue to run, see exactly what's going on. But God, give us the power to continue for your glory, not for ours. The flock of Christ, the church, and the believers are the property of God. That's his property. He loves them so much, he came to die for them. That's all the plan of God. John 3:16. He loved them so much that he had 100, he put aside 99, and went to run after one. And what is the context? One that went astray. A sinner who didn't listen to daddy. Daddy didn't go to mommy and says, never mind, let's make another one. No. Leave the other, run to fetch, to correct, to bring to the right path. Path of life. You love my flock? Shepherd them. How many of you spend the day as a shepherd, real shepherd, in the fields or something? Anyone here have done that? It's amazing. Some of you think that the shepherd always just sit and let the sheep graze. No. Sheep have no brains. They walk wherever they just, their head's hardly up, always see. They'll go always to the next wheat, the next thing to eat. And you always monitor and watch. You cannot just think, oh great, I'll have 7 hours in the field, I'll read and make the next lesson. Forget it. Fields full of snakes. Field full of other animals who wants the sheep. Fields full with mines, and not explosion, but the idea, traps for your flock. and now translate it from the zoo into reality. What do you think? Churches are clean? People come with weird ideas. And instead of speaking with the pastor, to check. Oh, they go to the back rows. They go to visit someone. Oh, they show, oh, I love you so much. They bring friendship. Just to install their idea. And then they make a lobby. And until it comes to the pastor, there are already waves and volcanoes in the church. And then when you deal with it, it's always like diffusing an atomic bomb. Churches are always on the top of a volcano, even when they are very quiet. And if there is a nice day today, God, thank you, thank you, thank you for your grace. People after the service go home and say, oh, it was a nice service, everything was quiet. And pastor and some other elders in the church receive the report, crisis here, crisis there. The job just begun. So if anyone thinks that he's going to a ministry of 8 to 5, 5:30 you are at home, erase what happened between 8 to 5, please go to another school. It simply doesn't work that way. There is no 8 to 5. It never happened. It will never happen. And when the day will come that you think it's 8 to 5, stop it. Don't ruin God's flock. So here we see that God is telling him, shepherd my flock, love them, take care of them. Make sure that false teaching will not be there. Make sure that wolves will be threatened. Go, recognize them. How do you recognize them? By teaching correctly the flock. So they know what is right and what is wrong. That they will not be like fallen leaves, Ephesians 4. Every someone that comes with a weird idea, oh, it sounds good. And then tomorrow someone says, oh, it sounds good. Like a fallen leaf. Teach the truth. Straightforward. Don't try to please people. Sometimes you tell the kid, eat. I don't like it. It's bitter. Eat. It's good for you. If it's good for me, why don't you eat it? No. Didn't you hear things like that? You know? It's life. You have to feed them. Not every food tastes in the mouth, but feel good in the stomach. Ask Ezekiel. So the idea is that you are responsible, that what is taught is clean, is pure. Will you give a plate of food and a little bit of cyanide on the side and tell your child, be careful, this is very, very poisonous. Don't eat here. Just eat on the other side. Will you ever give something like this to your kid? You'll take all the dish and throw it. So why would you do that spiritually? You can go to this group. Generally, they're okay, but be careful of this doctrine. I prefer not to do things like this. Remember, do you love the Lord? Shepherd his flock. So God expects us to do it out of love, not out of as if we have to, not as a burden, but God, thank you for an opportunity to bring peace to another home, to another person. There are some chapters in the Bible that describe false shepherds. Zechariah 11, Ezekiel 34. When they look at the flock, they just look of what they can gain. They look at their interest. Oh, this guy has a nice house, has a nice... Let me be his friend. Whenever he has a free time, we'll go together with him. This one is poor. Come on, just headache. You see, they choose whom to be friends with. God forbid. You see, the flock, everyone is belonging to God. A false shepherd sees the flock, he sees the next barbecue. What do I take? Which part is good for me? He is in the center. Not Christ. What does he gain? With whom he can go to eat in a good restaurant. With whom there are not too many problems. He's thinking about his 8 to 5. Don't be like that. There are too many like that. What God wants are those who are His servants. And the Bible says actually slaves. See the life of Joshua. He started with the servant of a slave. He ended up as a slave. That's the ultimate, highest rank any one of us can reach. And as a slave, looking at the hand of the master, to the movement. If it moves, I obey. That's the best position we can ever, ever look for. And if we are there, God, I'm in heaven. Tell it to the world, they'll hospitalize you. They do not understand that. So why do they call it a crown of glory? Because when the children are doing well, they are the glory of their parents. If you walk in order to make the children of God show glory to Him, you receive the crown of glory. So now we study what the believers who give or receive these crowns are going to do with them. In the book of Revelation, chapter 4, 10 to 11, Revelation 4, 10 to 11, we see the 24 elders who are sitting around the throne of God. And what do we do? What do they do with their crowns? It says, to you, Lord, our Lord God, to receive the glory, the honor, the power, because you created everything, and by your will they have been done and created. What do we do with them? We present them before the Lord. If I will receive anything, it's only because of God walking in me, not because I did it by own merit. He deserved it. God, it's yours. And the more I have, I allow you more and more to control me. When it says, be full with the Spirit, that's what it means. It doesn't mean, oh, I need another 25 PSI. No. All is there. Just let Him drive your life. Most of us are driving like this. Okay, God, I'm doing well. And then, Mano, let go. Be filled with the Spirit. Okay, God, no problem. Usually, most of us are between this and this, just to make God sure that God doesn't do mistakes. And what He wants is like this. Drive by faith. I'll never do mistakes. I'm the best GPS you'll ever have. So here, they brought it before Him. And take it from the new, from the Old Testament. During that time, you remember in Deuteronomy chapter 16, God is telling the Jews, three times a year you go to see the face of the Lord. In Tabernacle, in Feast of Weeks, and in Passover. And never come with empty hands. Never come with empty hands. But God, I'm poor! Okay, give me a dove. But that's all I have. Good. Fast this day. Take the food of this day, present it to the Lord, and you fast. But you will not see my face empty-handed. Whatever you have in the Old Testament is shadow of things to come. Look at the sacrifices, Leviticus 1 to 5. All how to sacrifice is exactly what Jesus did. The same vocabulary. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Where do you think He take it from? From the temple sacrificial system. That means you agree to the terms. You're part of it. Opening the sacrifice, opening and checking the kidney. Why to check the kidney? In the biblical time, it served as the brains, where your thoughts are. I'm checking everything. Everything which is inside and outside, it's clean, it's pure, feet to the Lord. Check all these issues there. It's amazing! When Jesus spoke to the disciples, He basically brought them back to the symbols. Now you see, I fulfilled it. So, you come before the Lord, and next to His throne, you will see the Ark from Noah, remember? Everything that you see here are taking just, those are the furniture in the living room of God. The high priest stones and everything. Here are they! The real thing. They are all in front of Him. He's looking at them every day. When Moses built the temple, come, I'll show you a shadow of something. A plan. Do according to it. Where is the master one? In heaven. So don't look at the Old Testament. Oh, it's odd. Let's give me the real stuff. Take the full picture. So here, you come before the Lord empty-handed. God, let it never be. At least one. Never empty-handed. You are going to see God, not your neighbor. What do they determine, these crowns? And I'll finish. We know that in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we all need to see the Lord in his seat of judgment. So everyone will receive according to what he did when he was in flesh. It's not the trial to go to hell or to heaven. We are, those who are in this trial will see heaven. But then all what they have done are going to be measured and tested. And you're going to receive according to how faithful you were when you were here. Similar things we see in 1 Corinthians 3:14-15 and Luke 19:11-27. So that means while we are obedient to the Lord today, God reckons it. And that's how he's going to pay us. When he tests us, our work, when we stand before him. And what do we do? What it's determined? I really believe, again, someone here may have another idea, but I really believe that according to the number of crowns, it may determine in what position and responsibility we are going to serve the Lord in the millennial kingdom. If you have a better idea, may God bless you. Come, share with me. We'll replace notes. It will not send you to a better place in heaven if I write or you're right. It's my understanding. If you have a better one, I'll be the first one to change my notes and next time teach better. And what about those who rejected him? Well, nothing will be changed in your life. You entered into your life driving in a train in a first-class position straight to hell. You don't have to do a thing in order to go to hell. You are already on the way to there. You need to pray and ask God, God, take me away from this train. As comfortable as it is, I don't want to be there. I want to be with you. And by his grace, he opened the eyes and escorted you out to a temporary train that may be less comfortable, but it's on the way to God's presence. I pray that we'll remember that and we will always deserve the desire not to come before the Lord empty-handed. Father in heaven, I thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for what you give to us. We do not deserve it. I do not deserve it. I look at the mirror and I see the truth. And Father, sometimes it's so ugly. I beg before you, Lord, to extend your grace, to forgive me, to give me understanding and wisdom how to give more to you. I pray, Lord, that as we go through this life here, day by day, people may be able to see more of you and less of us. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to share your word. Father, also pray for the church in Jerusalem. Pray, Father, that as they go back home, they'll be safe. Pray, Father, that they will love you and remember that you are the same God here and there. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.